Geshe Sewang and Kenshin Rinpoche are here, and eventually Jada Rinpoche comes, we translate her, and Rinpoche can have a comfortable, you know, comfortable earpiece like that. For these kinds of things, we have to find sponsors for, which is traditional. So the sponsors were prayer books, sponsors for artwork, sponsors for mechanical devices and tankas and all that, so that everyone sees that they're part of giving and part of support, because the Buddhist message is interconnectedness, interdependence. The things that we pay out of kind of our general budgeted fund is like the mortgage and the lights and fixing things like that, which people's regular pledges and support and donations here today go to. We're not, we're in the process of trying to obtain refinancing for the temple. We owe the Armenians the payoff amount February of next year of $405,000. And I want to do the right thing and pay them on time. So we're talking to different banks, and if a Dharmaraja comes along and wants to make a big cash donation, we're open to that now. One of the reasons we didn't get the green light from Bank of the West is, you know, we haven't had enough in reserve fund. You know, we run so thin every month, we spend what we take in. So they, one of the things they said, you know, you really need some kind of reserve fund. So if somebody leaves or things go bad, then, you know, we know you can pay the mortgage. So that's something we're working on building. Seems odd to start a Dharma talk this way, but it's not really, because the Buddha put right livelihood right in the middle of the Astamarga, the Eightfold Path, right? And at the end of many of the Dalai Lama's major initiations, like Kala Chakra, he brings out the accountants, and on a PowerPoint they go over where the donations came from and how much it costs. Is anybody at one of those impairments where he did that? Yeah, you know, who else does that? You know, so it's like, this is where the money, this is where it came from, this is where it's going, because the right livelihood is extremely important in our tradition. So, you know, thank you everybody for listening to Right Livelihood from the very beginning. This next few weeks and prior, we'll be preparing for the Medicine Buddha initiation and Medicine Buddha Sand Mandala that will be constructed the second week in September. I thought at first the Monksum Sergei and the Nari Institute would be starting on 9/11. They'll probably be here on 9/12, but that week will be a slow construction of the sand mandala, and we're going to have it down here on the ground floor, so it's very accessible. And then Sunday the 16th, we'll having a Medicine Buddha initiation ceremony, Jenang it's called, with Kenshin Rinpoche. So I hope many of you can attend. That would be great. A major mission of Lion Sword and Dona Dargi Temple is healing. So Medicine Buddha is a big part of our practice. We have two Medicine Buddha profiles in front of temple, right? We're serious about this, you know. And then so we have Medicine Buddha Tanka to my left, and also traditional healing Tara, white Tara to my right, your left and right. So we'll also be doing more Tara practice in the future. So healing Dharma practice takes many forms. There is the yogic practice of doing the healing practices like Medicine Buddha and White Tara. But here at Lion's Roar, we extend that a little bit. The healing practices are so big that in my own career, I've had to create Middleway Health and Middleway Health Foundation, because in this society, you can't just heal people through you can't just offer your healing practices through the structure of traditional Dharma, right? And in Asia, you'd go to Dharma for spiritual healing, psychological healing, and medical healing, and also family counseling, right? It was all just one thing. So in Tibet, and it was probably even sports. They were all like Dharma sports. So here in Sacramento, I had to create Lion's Roar, Middleway Health, Middleway Health Foundation. Middleway Health is mostly psychotherapy, and Middleway Health Foundation is free psychotherapy and healing and medical help. Because not everything fits under religious venue. It's all split up in this society, right? So your Kaiser, your UCD, your Sutter Select isn't going to pay for Lion's Roar, right? That's separation. That's actually pretty good. Then it keeps it, clean, clear, they're not going to give you anything for free, so you have to have a job, so you wouldn't be able to come to Middleway Health anyway and see psychotherapy. So we had to create Middleway Health Foundation so it would be free, right? So I'm involved in all of those, and that's all part of my Medicine Buddha practice. So if you come to see me in Darshan, you're going to get Dharma teaching, plus you're going to get psychotherapy. Because what is psychotherapy? Psychotherapy means, psyche means the soul, or your anima in Latin, your aliveness, right? And therapy means to heal, right? So, you're going to get that, because in Dharma, we're not only healing the dualistic split and fundamental delusional mistake that humans make, but we're also healing our relationships and our bodies. But in Darshan, we're not doing it under the board of behavioral sciences, right? That's such a blessing. it's actually good to have sometimes state oversight. It's good to have that. Every therapist, psychologist I know, immediately, if they still get a magazine, professional magazine, they always turn immediately to disciplinary actions. who got in trouble? We need that for Dharma centers too, in a way. So someone watching what's going on. But in any case, it's nice just to do, Darshan, where it's very private. But you're going to get everything I have, all my expertise. It's just I'm not going to write a note to your insurance company. It's really nice. I don't like calls from them. They call you if you have people to think that, oh, insurance, you know, it's great. But if you have insurance, then even with a copay, they have a right to know what's going on, right? Did you know that? Did people, you know? So they can say, what's your treatment plan? What's your goals? And what time are you going to bed, you know? So, you know, my goal, of course, for healing is to be always doing as much Dharma practice and darshan as possible, as much, even if I'm doing, you know, professional licensed BBS psychotherapy, private pay like that, because I want to get off the grid, you know. But I want to emphasize, when you're seeing me as teacher, you're getting everything. People in this culture always segue things, right? Like, oh, I'm going to this for this and that for that. And I understand I'm not going to, you know, give you a blood test when you come, that's for sure. But we're going to look at everything, the whole thing. And Dharma healing is the whole person, right? So in our tradition too, like, healing isn't just psychological or medical. Maybe 2 years now, the foundation, Middleway Health Foundation, needed to do fundraisers, which we need to do. So we did Art Saves Lives. I do believe that, right? So that's one reason we have a strong artistic tradition in Vajrayana, and we have a strong artistic tradition here at Donadarke. We have the tankas, we have original works of art, we have murals being painted, because beauty and the organization and the ability to have a creative vision heals. In our tradition, you know, when we say seeing reality as it is, dhammata, that doesn't mean reality is static, right? It doesn't mean we're static. We're not. We're creative beings. So if you want to see things as they are, it isn't just seeing like, well, there's emptiness and then you go home, right? Emptiness means openness. So there's energy, you know, it means open and not fixated and completely creative and alive. It's has imagination. So that has to be reflected in, you know, our temple here. So, you know, I'm very happy that we have creative artists associated with the temple, because it isn't just beauty, it's healing, and it's absolutely necessary for the practice. And when I say art, I don't just mean, you know, visual art. You know, music is art, and so we have music also. And this summer, I gave our hardworking choir leader, Michael, a break. And really appreciate all his work, and I know he's here today, so I get to say nice things. So it's not good. So in our tradition, we use the arts, we use music, and we use you know, visual art, and we use dance, right? So, and we use growing things, the gardens. So this is all part of our healing activity. That makes sense, right? Yeah. So the sand mandala is both art and a healing, creative activity at the same time. So I hope all of you can come and not only see it constructed, but come for initiation into the healing mandala, and then some of you may be able to stay and see the dissolution of the mandala, and then when we offer it into the river. Contrary to a lot of misperceptions, the dissolution of the sand mandala is not demonstrating impermanence. People love, they kind of like get off and like, well, you built this beautiful thing, now you're destroying it, and we're showing impermanence. Actually, that's not what we're doing. Is we're taking the energy of the mandala and gathering it together in that sand form, and then offering it to the whole environment like that. I know that, of course, it also demonstrates impermanence, but the main thing is spreading healing energy. So I think we'll be offering it to the the closest river. Still have to drive there, right, Susan? We have to drive. So a few years ago, we offered it to the Sacramento River near, right by the Delta Queen. That was kind of bizarre, you know, like, but it worked, you know. It's like, we just did it, and you know, didn't go viral, you know. Maybe, you know, I don't know. The style of healing we do, the style of Dharma we do, sometimes I call sacred humanism, because it has the sacred quality of Dharma, but has the humanist quality that we're dealing with human beings as we are, what we need. You know, Dharma comes, all the teachings, the Buddhist teachings, the sutras and the texts and the traditions, they're all geared mostly towards human beings, right? So human beings need human Dharma in a certain way. But Dharma isn't necessarily human. Most of it's catered toward human beings, right? So it's human being Dharma, right? But and there's also many other kinds of Dharma practices for other forms of life and other beings. So animals have their own animal Dharma, right? Like that. And rocks have rock Dharma and rock healing Dharma, and earth has earth healing Dharma. You know, like probably earth right now is saying, I've got a little plastic stuck somewhere in my throat. Somewhere on the Atlantic, somewhere on the Pacific, like a lot of plastic, please. So we also recognize that people are doing Dharma practice, very profound healing Dharma practice also for the planet and for other forms of life. Anybody doing Dharma practice with pets or creatures? Hands, like, yeah, so you're doing Dharma. So we're kind of interacting with, you know, our different forms of life, and we have to recognize that they're doing a certain kind of Dharma, right? And, you know, if we are healing, it's, you know, cat healing or dog healing or fish healing or, you know, bumblebee healing, something like that, plant healing. So traditional Vajrayana Dharma in Tibet, you know, a very strong tradition of animal liberation, strong tradition of working with native plants and protecting and native animals, protecting the environment like that. So your formal practice as human beings for the yogas we do, we probably need to do that as human beings, but some of you here in the room, you may say, I have more interest in the garden than in doing paintings, or I'm more interested in the environment than, you know, doing this or that. So we want to support that too. That's healing. That makes sense, right? It's kind of obvious, but we have to say it. So in the Medicine Buddha tradition, we're going to start offering Medicine Buddha practice maybe twice a month. Or every, twice a month? Once a month. Once, we're doing once now. We should do it, you know, after the initiation, we should do it more often, don't you think? Yeah. Okay, this, I feel like Dharma auction, so like, Peter, Susan said, yeah, and then Marie, yeah, and Peter said, okay, I'll do it, okay. All right, you're on, that's it, so. It's fairly easy here to get people to volunteer, don't you think? It's nice, you know. I have so much help. The Dharma that, you know, isn't as obvious, that's still healing, is like electronic Dharma, you know, like healing website, right? New website, very healing, you know. And, you know, then this healing kind of style, technology healing. You know, we, I mean, I'm not a total Luddite, you know, so I appreciate, you know, I'm always kind of like a little bit praying, may my Apple iPhone 5 just last another till the end of the year, please, you know, so doing. Yeah, so we, there's electronic dharma, and there's, you know, the people that you don't see doing all the bookkeeping, healing, you know, doing the right livelihood again, you know, Judy Taylor, Erica Stone, you know, that's healing too, right? It's really healing when, you know, there's no kind of money silliness, right? Isn't it? Because it's really a drag when there's, you know, you don't know where the money's going, you don't know who's keeping track of the money, you know, you're stressed about money, you know, and we say in 12-step program, and the promises, you'll no longer have, you know, financial worries. You'll no longer have financial worries, not just because you stop drinking, because when you're paying attention to your finances, you'll always be at least, you know, one shilling ahead of debt, right? What was the, we have some literary scholars here, what Charles Dickens, I don't know, Pickwick Papers, they say, or is it Bleak House, like, you know, expenses, you know, £3, 2 shillings, income, £3, 3 shillings, at 4 shillings, pain. When income is £3, you know, three shillings and expenses are £3, 2 shillings, like, then pleasure, right? Just one little thing can throw us off, can it? So when we're not drinking and drugging, then, you know, we're keeping track of our world. And that's healing. At some point, I'll be doing another refuge practice, refuge ceremony for people. And this is going to be a fairly, not new, but I'm very interested in people having enough education about the practice so that they know what they're doing. And when we take refuge, it's not just a magical event. So, when Susan and I finish working out the details, I'm going to ask, you know, potential refugees to, you know, come through that entryway of Buddhism for beginners so that we have the background and we know what we're getting into, that we have a firm foundation in the tradition, and we get to ask questions and get to become familiar with what we do here at Dona Dargyan, what the lineage is, right? Then we know. Then later, after a year or two, you can say you didn't know. So now I'd like to take some discussion and any questions, comments, or complaints before we have a break. All right, your hand popped up, just like at the... We're doing the microphone thing, so Doug can really move fast when he wants to. Did you notice that? He can. Doug's really, you know, he's very quiet, but like right on. So, yes, thank you. Yeah, you got to turn it on. Probably, you might have to. It's green. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Dana, maybe you can.
Hello.
There you go. Oh, okay.
I wanted to know how to have a Dharma practice with my animals.
Well, this formal training, you know, formal training would be you're doing your meditation and prayers and mantras and like that when your animal's right there, right? Okay, then you're doing the Dharma practice with your animals, right? So, you know, like, other than that, you're just, you know, taking responsibility, right? For your animals, right? So that's doing the practice. You know, if we have pets, you know, they're putting their lives, you know, kind of they're surrendering to us in a way, right? You know, so I have definite opinions about how to take care of animals and help, because sometimes people think, well, they're really wild, so they'll do what they want to do, but actually they're not once we really start regularly feeding and taking care and doing vet bills, and you know, we have a sense of responsibility, so they're like that, right? So, and then we might learn something from them too, right? So that's doing the Dharma practice with them. We're taking care of them, we're also learning this interchange like that.
So when I'm doing yoga and they lay on the mat with me, that's what we're experiencing.
Yeah, you know, and you know, if you're really doing the yoga when you're lying on the mat, yeah. But there's something, you know, like there was a YouTube, you know, actually not more than YouTube. There's goat yoga now. Do you know about goat yoga? So it's big back east where, you know, people are doing like. The little goats are climbing on top of people while they're doing the yoga. It's for real. It's really big now, goat yoga. No, I'm not. You know, you can check it out. Yeah, so, is it possible to do a really good shamatha practice while your cat's in your lap? Yes, I mean, of course. Why not? You know? But, you know, then we have to be realistic. Like, are we kind of monitoring the cat too much or something? So, yeah, you can. Like that. There are some people, like, have really trained their birds, you know? So they're meditative birds. Like, the 16th Karmapa was really into birds. And he had an actual aviary like that. And, there's many examples of, you know, yogis and saints and birds quieting down. And my own teacher, because of Mahakala practice, very connected with crows. So, you know, crows used to just show up when he was teaching like that. So birds are interesting. Anybody have birds? Yeah, no birds yet. Fish? I like fish. No fish? No other fish people? Yeah. So if you come to Middle Way Health, you'll see the fish are very interested in you. If you sit next to the fish tank, they'll check you out, you know? Yeah. So that's good. Noelle, so yeah. So you'll have to wait for the mic.
Yeah. I was wondering how we... can send someone to the Middle Way Health Foundation. I'm helping a person, homeless, and she needs help, and I'm helping her as much as I can, but I'm limited in my.
Call the office and talk to Judy.
Okay.
See what happens. You know, we're limited now because we're, you know, just only have so much funds, and we're applying for grants. And the more we can do, the more we can do.
Can I sponsor her?
Good,
like
yeah.
Making contributions
yeah.
on her
yeah.
behalf.
That's good. That's okay. Yes, people do that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, good.
I was going to say about the practicing for animals or practicing with animals or whatever. Also, like you're like thinking about your diet and how that affects animals and your choices as a consumer. I think that's also an important way. I mean, we have a lot of saints in Buddhism, like Shapkar, that like really promoted like thinking about the way you eat. So I've always thought that that's an important element too.
Correct. Yeah. Healing food is nice, right? Healing through food and growing, and that's nice, right? We need a restaurant that, you know, that we used to have Eat Your Vegetables here, you know, and then maybe we'll have an incarnation, love your vegetables, something like that.
there's a great, there's like various Buddhist restaurants now, like Buddhist, and like other dishes have Buddhist names. Yeah. There's like Andy Nguyen. Yeah. That's someone. It's funny.
Yeah. So generally in Dharma, you know, it's interesting that history, they're kind of two sometimes conflicting kind of traditions, like the Buddha emphasized, particularly for when doing monastic or alms rounds, just like accept whatever is given, right? You know, so sometimes in the even that would be meat, you know? And then there are other traditions where, you know, probably strongest in China, you know, even now China and Taiwan, where, you know, a vegetarian lifestyle. So, you know, generally teachers leave that up to people's individual kind of decisions, you know, but many of the large monasteries under Dalai Lama, of course, are now they've got, you know, tofu makers. It's interesting. Yeah. Hi there. That's Renee. Yeah.
I was wondering just about the donations. If we were to make a particularly like large donation, would it be better to do that in cash or like on the website?
You're thinking of a large donation? Are you just are you my shill for today? You know, so. Did you win the lottery, Renee?
No.
Oh, okay. gotta play to pay, or pay to play. You know, it really doesn't matter because we report everything, and this isn't a business, you know. So we don't have an underground economy. In fact, we want to show all the donations. You see. We need to, you know, for of course bank financing to show, you know, number of members and where things are coming from. And we just like to know all those, you know, sometimes anonymous donors in the past, you know, can be very generous. But actually, in Buddhist tradition, contrary to some kind of Western idea, like anonymity isn't a big thing. So, you know, everybody knew like Anapatha Badinka, right? What's his name? Sorry, I can't say it today. Yeah, thank you. How do you say it? Yeah, Anapatha Badinka, right. So he was a very wealthy merchant and he wanted a retreat center or monastery for the Buddha, so he bought the whole this whole park from Prince Jeddah and had to cover it with gold, right? So everybody knew, you know, and generally in India and Tibet, you know, people would be, you know, recognized for being donors, you know, this, so that, you know, that's tradition. Sometimes that, you know, they'd have actually a pillar outside saying thank you to these people. So it's traditional temples in India and Tibet are kind of like going into Dignity Health or Sutter, you know, you see a big thing like these donors and like that. Okay, so I'll be awaiting a very thick envelope. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break and then come back in 10 minutes and stretch and then you can talk and come back for meditation. Om Ahang. May I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. Bodhicitta, for the not arisen, arise and grow. May that which has arisen not diminish, but increase more and more. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends.
May the teachings of the Buddhas flourish,
and may the upholders of the teachings remain forever. They all migrate as to achieve happiness, and may they fulfill all their temporary and ultimate goals.
Losan, magical display of deep awareness of all the victory at once. Merciful giver of a stream of profound and vast instruction to the fortunate migrators. Please remain always unperishing, unchanging, unfading.
Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of objectless compassion. Manjushri, master of flawless wisdom. Vajrapani, bestower of the entire host of Maras. Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the snowy land sages. Losang Drakpa, I make request at your holy feet.
Thank you, everybody. There's snacks and all kinds of good things.
Yeah, I've asked Michelle to make a talk about Dana Paramita, the perfection of giving. It's not just, it's a practice from both sides, because in Dharma, a big part of Dharma for the Buddha was renouncing his privileged position in society, being crown prince and walking around the neighborhood, with alms bowl, begging for food, right? It infuriated his dad, you know. It's like, I mean, he could have been a yogi, you know, and they said, okay, we get it, you want to meditate, you know, just, you know, be cool. But, I mean, the idea that, you know, a crown prince was going around to the neighborhood of it, what was his father's, you know, realm, and asking for money, this is a huge part of Dharma, you know, to ask for it, you know. So there's a interdependence between asking and receiving, and learning how to ask for it. Asking in a really sincere way itself is healing, you know. So, actually, you know, so since our religion major, sometimes, you know, kind of gospel things come up in my head too, you know. So there was Matthew or maybe Mark, you know, just there was a woman who just said, please heal me, you know. And just like that, you see, and Jesus said, you're healed. Because the asking was healing, you see. Able to just come forth and say, I need help. That itself opened her up, you see. That's really important. You know, so same way we ask, and then the person asking, like Michelle is going to stand up right now, is putting herself in that healing place. That makes sense, right? It's opening up. Okay, now you need... Oh, take this one, yeah. Yeah, take that. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Loma, so much, just for everything. So glad that we have, you know, a place here. I personally am here, you know, as much as I can be here. It saved my life. And so we have so much going on. And for those of you who've been here, know this. And for anyone that's new, we have this. And there's all our events and, you know, different things we have going on. And then we also have a really beautiful website you can go to, and you can see what's going on. Lamala spoke about the prayer book sponsorship. And so this is the prayer book. It's not cheap to make. So if there's anyone that would like to do that, you can see... probably Lama after. And then we have little red envelopes in the back, and you can, you know, make a donation, put it in the cylindrical square donation box. And don't forget the sand mandala. Come see the sand mandala and enjoy. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Thank you.
That was a good ask, wasn't it? Yeah, all right. Also, we have a bulletin board in the library space that we need to fill. We're calling it Compassionate Needs. Marie did a nice kind of poster right in the middle. We need a sign to Compassionate Needs. Yeah. So it's okay to say, you know, I need, you know, I need this, I need that, right? You know, I need a ride. I need a hug. You know, I need, you know, I need, you know, a cup of coffee, right? So, or we have something we can offer, right? So we can put that out there, you know, like that. Many times in America, because in the last 50 years, you know, yogic dharma that we're doing has been mainly picked up by, you know, well-privileged white people, frankly. You know, we thought, well, dharma means never having to ask for anything because you didn't have to, you know. So we do have needs, you know, that go from, you know, physical to psychological to medical. And it's important to, you know, ask for that. Somebody was kind of blown away the other day when they said, oh, Lamala, what do you need? And I said, I need emotional support. I got a health plan, you know, but, you know, so I need emotional support, right? I just might put that on the bulletin board, you know. So, you know, we learned how to ask and not be ashamed of what we need in Dharma. Milarepa was very credible yogi, and he said the essence of Dharma is not being ashamed of who you are, right? Really important. So we break through that shame layer by just saying, you know, I need help. And then we also break through our shame layer by saying, oh, you know, I have something to offer. So then that's how interdependence is realized. So we'll get some tags up there, maybe little pieces of paper or something. Yes, Cynthia, yeah. We haven't put it on the website yet, yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, we need a good point. Yeah, so we've given Rob and Elizabeth a little break while she's recovering from her surgeries, but then we're gonna lay a whole bunch of stuff on them. So we have this kind of a it's coming, Rob. You know, so you know, some kind of web bulletin board. Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Ciao, ciao. Thank you.